Hey ho, what do you know? It's time for the Matt Dean Clark Show.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to the podcast that critics around this great nation of ours are calling listening to this show is my rock bottom. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. It is Monday. It is April 29th. It is 3:25 in the p.m. and it is 47 degrees, nice and chilly out for you. Let's start today with some entertainment news. We'll get right into it. I feel like this show is the place that people go to when they want to find out the current, the latest and greatest on the Richard Simmons biopic. And we got that information for you. So Richard Simmons came out against the fact that this biopic was going to be made with Pauly Shore playing Richard Simmons. And Shore had never mentioned anything about this. I think that's been out for a while. I want to say maybe a month or so, if not longer. And last week, Richard Simmons apparently also posted a release, press release, saying, "I just read that a man I don't know is writing my biopic starring Pauly Shore. I do not approve of this movie. I'm in talks with major studios to create my own biopic with some help. Wait for this movie." So basically telling that audience and anyone that's waiting for the Pauly Shore one, don't check that out. You know what I mean? Which is like, I think that says a lot. I would maybe be like, oh, okay. Maybe I shouldn't check that out if the actual person that the movie's about doesn't want me to see that one. You know, it says a lot, I feel like. But Pauly Shore came out and he, as a rebuttal, if you will, said, "As you know, many biopics are made without the subjects agreeing to be part of it. Elvis, Stephen Hawking, Marilyn Monroe, Steve Jobs, and many, many more. Some of them have turned out good. Some of them have turned out bad. Mine is going to be and going to turn out amazeballs." All right. So very highbrow entertainment. He said, "Let me know when you want me to come over with yummy food from Cantor's and Jordan, I will pitch you in the living room." This is what Pauly Shore wrote via Twitter to Richard Simmons. So there you go with that. And then he came out with another one that was very weird. Pauly Shore did, which said, "I just read the amazing news that Richard Simmons wants Tom Cruise to play him in his biopic. That's fantastic." But no one can figure out like where he read this. Like, is he kind of seems like he's the one that's breaking that news. And he added, "He definitely resembles Richard more than me, don't you think? I understand why Richard wants Tom to play him, because Tom Cruise is sexy and I'm an ugly duckling. Not cool, dudes," he said. And then he said, "Come to think of it, this is all just too much for me. I'm dropping out of the race. I'm opting out. I'm going to move to a forest in Bangladesh and just do ayahuasca for the next month and rethink my life. Goodbye, my Richard Simmons biopic dreams." So there you go. So it seems like he's backing out of the project. So that's the latest and greatest there. From there, a couple movies that are going to happen. One is Tron 3, Tron Ares. And a lot of people were wondering, because there was a cast announced where you got Evan Peters, Greta Lee, Gillian Anderson even from X-Files. But no one knew anything about, you know, everyone wanted to know the big name, of course, the biggest in the Tron series, Jeff Bridges. And he is officially returning to the grid, as he posted a picture today that confirmed that he is on board, him reading a script and a behind-the-scenes photo. So there you go. So that's good news there. From that threequel, the third movie, comes another threequel, which is the Extraction series and Extraction 3. So people wanted to know more about, you know, the kind of status of this third movie. And Joe Russo revealed to Total Film, he said, "Yes, we're developing it at the moment, trying to figure out Chris's schedule. Sam Hargrave is back directing. It's an interesting franchise because he's an emotionally wounded character, so there's good storytelling there, I think, in respect to his backstory. And you know, his relationship to violence is one that's built around self-loathing and guilt." He added, "I think that it adds a lot of texture, and that will allow us to tell more stories about him. So there you go. That is Extraction 3. And there you go. That is your entertainment news for today. All right, everybody, welcome back to the podcast, The Weekly Review. It is Tuesday, April 30th. It is 8:25 in the p.m., and it is 61 degrees and raining. There you go. April showers, ladies and gentlemen, as it is, yeah, the last day of April. So they're trying to get the month's worth of rain in tonight. And it is coming down, let me tell you that. But yeah, welcome back. Today we'll do advice, everyone's favorite segment of the week. Reach out at notgoodwithmatt@gmail.com. That's notgoodwithmatt@gmail.com. And yeah, let's see. I got back doing the show later in general today. Had a morning ball game. Did the St. Paul Saints game earlier this morning. So they were at 11 a.m. But not a bad way to start off the morning and kick off the day, a little baseball game. So yeah, pretty good. Pretty sweet. But yeah, so any hoozle, going to, so how that relates to advice is my advice to you is to try to do a ball game and go to a ball game in the morning. Huh? Did I tie that in? All right, so we'll start with advice. Somebody says, will his date think, oh no, he still lives with his parents? So this guy is inviting his dad to move in for a while and worries that women he's dating are going to get like a codependent impression. He says, I'm in my mid-30s and I'm professionally and financially squared away. I'm actively dating and looking for a relationship with the right woman and hopefully marriage one day. Recently, my mother passed away after a long illness. My dad has no other family in his area, so I'm going to move him into a spare room in my house for a while. We may get him into a senior apartment sometime next year if we can find something that he likes and can afford. How do I approach this conversation with a woman that my father lives with me? I don't want to be slotted into the, oh no, he lives with his parents column. I figure this would be a deal breaker for some women, but I have to do this. He's my dad. He's just lost the woman he was married to for over 40 years, and I'm not going to leave him where he is with no support. Listen, I think that's kind of the old school way of thought, at least taking care of him. You know, yeah, that's the new school of thought. Just don't take care of your parents. No, no. What I'm saying is living with your parents is cool again, I feel like. People find that hot. You don't have to worry about that. And that is just kind of a way of life. I think that that is normal and is that's to me not weird. And anyone is going to see that as a very admirable and respectful decision that you're making. So, yeah, I think you got nothing to worry with there. I always, you know, I love hanging out with my parents. And I know not everyone has that type of relationship with their parents. And I get that. And it, yeah, I'm sure. You know, people, I've heard tons of stories of people having very challenging situations. But for me, it's always been, you know, it's been one of those things where like when I lived in California, I would come back and I'd spend a few weeks with them. And I would, you know, that's a good chunk of time. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, the neighbors are probably seeing me and people are probably seeing me, you know, staying there and thinking like, oh, he's back living with his parents again. I think there is the stigma, but I think it's not that big of a deal, especially now you hear so many stories of people really, you know, moving back in with their parents after college and all that and staying with them for so long until they get kind of established in their career. So it's really not, yeah, I think it's nothing, you have nothing to worry about, in my opinion. Next advice question. Her family left all the kitchen work to her, so she decided to go on strike. No one in her perfectly capable family helps with dinners. And now she feels like a petulant child for going on strike. So she's saying, I've had enough. I'm going on strike. I'm not making dinners. Deal with it. I say you're not going far enough, ma'am. You should make sure that there's no food in the house. That they starve. Uh-huh. Harsh, but fair. harsh but fair. Or even better, that they no longer have room and board. Just kick them right out of that house. You know what I mean? Just to prove a point. I think that the point will get across. Yeah, horrible advice. I get it. But I think, you know, maybe there's a way you can somehow, I always feel like if there's a way you can trick your mind into having fun with something, and fun with everyone in the family too, like everyone chips in, or maybe that is part of your kind of weekly chores, where it's like, okay, you know, someone's vacuuming one week, but also maybe someone's helping with the meals, all that kind of stuff, so that there's ways to move it along and spread it out so it's not squarely resting on your shoulders. Try that. It is Wednesday, May 1st. It is 59 degrees. It is 8:07 in the PM. Welcome to it. We have special guests. We got Brett.
Oh, I'm the special. I'm not the special guest.
You guys are both special guests.
Oh, thank you.
You're special in a different kind of way, though.
Yeah. And then
I love you.
That's what my mom always says, too. Yeah, yeah.
You're very special to me.
That's right.
And then we have Tom. Tom Chilstrom.
Yes, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Good to be back.
We're going to give you a full introduction on the main show once we get cooking on that. But yeah. Right now, so we were just talking about, flavors, so getting the last little flavors of a cup of beer or any kind of beverage.
Yes.
And you said, you came up with the phrasing of, I want to get those last little flavors.
Those last little flavors of the margarita, so I poured water into it.
Yeah.
Which
seltzer water.
Yeah, seltzer water.
Probably makes it better.
Well, it's going to tickle the ice cube. What am I talking about?
Wow.
You guys ever just stare into a cup of water, of seltzer water, just be like, ooh, sparkles.
What's
ooh.
It all about? What's just, life all about?
It's just dancing out of the ice cube. Like, it's a little tickle. A little tickle here and there. So stupid degenerate.
Well, what triggered me with... You triggered me.
We're all triggered.
No, but... what? Well, but when you mentioned,
I don't know if you can use that word for something that's actually giving you something that's a little bit joyous.
It gives me joy. Like, you triggered my joy.
I was triggered, but joyous.
We should co-op that.
And you hit your joy spot.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like somebody's going to somehow rage out about that. Like, no, you triggered me by trying to co-op trigger for your own joy. It's like, oh, shit. So sorry, everybody.
But when you talked about flavors, it's funny because I feel like lately going to some bars, I definitely noticed this in the cities,
yeah.
Twin cities, if you will, Minneapolis. Mm. And St. Paul, I noticed that some of the bartenders have said, like, when I'm like, oh yeah, they're like, do you know what kind of beer you want? What flavor would you like? It's like, huh, that's interesting. But it's happened a couple times lately where it's like, is that the new trend, the new hipster thing of like,
are they idiots?
Calling it flavors. They all, yeah, I asked them math questions immediately and they couldn't tell me the answer.
Like, hold on, you're saying that. Wait, I can take 4 out of 20? Like, yes, you can. Leaves you with 16. Oh, my God. Dude, you're like a genius.
Yeah.
I think you know what it might be, and this is maybe my opinion, and you know, Brett maybe can correct me as a former bartender and stuff.
Sure.
And when you, speaking of that, former bartender, are you kind of always one of those things where it's like you're always a bartender? You know what I mean? You're always kind of, you can't turn that off in a way.
I feel like, yeah. If I'm at a busy place, I'll get like, I'll just always be noticing things or kind of be ADHD with things or like not, you know, in the right mindset of like, I'm thinking of an example yesterday. I had drinks with a friend and just like, I was just like glancing around constantly because it was a busy bar. And they're like, you okay? I'm like, do you have ADHD? I'm like, I don't know.
But you're aware of your surroundings. That's a good thing in a bartender. That's a great thing.
I think anybody who's been in the industry, because I was a bouncer and stuff, and there's a lot of times where I'm at a bar where people are like, are you, like, they almost look like at me like I'm PTSD. I'm just like, no, like, there's something weird or like, I don't know, like prime example, I was at Wild Bill's once with my brother. And this is the Blaine one. And literally just brought him there. He was in town. And wanted him to meet my roommates because they always went there every Thursday. And literally, immediately we walked through, all these bouncers are starting to look at us like we're going to be the problem. And I told my brother, I go, there is no way we're sticking around more than one drink. He goes, why? I go, because all these guys are just dumb. There's like five or six people I've seen that are going to be way more problematic than us. And then we leave. I find out from my roommate later that there's like two groups of dudes who start a fight and then spill out of the parking lot. And then they like start pulling out guns.
No.
Wow.
They leave the parking lot and you see, you hear gunfire as they're driving away. I'm just like, okay, jeez. Well, and I'm the problem? Like, right. That didn't happen when I was there.
Right.
Yeah. You should have stayed there. Then that maybe would not have happened. Maybe you caused that. Maybe you were the problem.
Ooh. Did you give them the guns? Are you a gun runner?
Whoa.
Tom Chilstrom's a gun runner. We broke it here first.
Listen. I do not need this to be my next downfall, all right?
No, I didn't mean
Are you a little chilly on the streets?
Call me little chill. Little chilly. Little chills.
Yeah. He'll ice you. Yeah, he'll ice
Now, I didn't mean to distract you too and divert you from. You were like, I think what it is with the
Well, so when flavors. They ask, like, what's your flavor, right? Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, there's different types of beer. Like, you know, if you ask for beer, they're going to ask you what kind of beer. But the flavors, I think, is because of all the seltzers that are out there now. Mm. All the hard seltzers. You want a White Claw? Yeah. He's got plenty of different White Claws, right? You want a Bolo or wherever you're going.
He's good. He's good.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yep. That's good. that's great. I totally agree with that. And that's got to be what it is. As far as anything else for me checking in, I did this thing. This is totally not related to beer because I wasn't drinking at this time. But I drove to Half Price Books, humble brag. But I went and I get out of the car and I left the keys in the ignition.
Okay.
And then I get out, car's not running. I hit the lock button, cha-chack, and then close the door and decide to head in and like, you know, all's good.
Yeah.
But then for some reason, I have a 2016 Mitsubishi Lancer.
And Very specific.
Again, I don't want to brag, but
done okay.
I have done okay.
I mean, okay. No, I mean, it's 2016, so you've done mildly better
I've done mildly better.
I am okay-ish. So where are we at?
But when I close the door, it makes loud noises. And I was like, what? That's weird. But it wouldn't let me lock it.
Right.
I had locked it. I closed the door and it wouldn't let me lock it. Wow. I actually clicked unlocked and then made beep, beep, beep.
Right.
And it was awesome. But I was like, I did not think a 2016 had the technology.
Do you have a push to start or no?
No, I don't have a push to start.
Well, then I'm very surprised it has the technology.
It's very weird. But I almost feel like I imagined it and I don't want to try it again.
Right.
So I was like, what if it was some fluke and then if I do it, it really does lock it in?
Well, I mean, because some of those even push to starts. I've known people who have driven away without their keys on them because they're close enough and the key hook is like right inside the garage door. They'll turn the car on and then they'll leave and they'll get to wherever they're going. Like,
and then they can't start it.
You
just gotta leave it running your whole work day and then just like hire some guy to like come fill it with gas halfway through the day.
Hey,
just,
homeless guy. Can I trust you with my car?
Get a task rabbit. Yeah. It's a whole thing.
Oh, listen, it's good. You know, it's good if you can find a job like that. And also, too, I wanted to ask you guys about something else that you can find. Segue of the year. But listen, sometimes they're not all gold. But there is a new thing they released on Monday that was kind of making all the buzz. Brett, have you peed your pants?
Ever in my life?
No, like in the last hour.
just once.
Yeah. Okay, that's not bad.
Why?
In the last hour.
Yeah.
So apparently they are coming out with, I'm sure you guys have probably heard about this, but they announced on Monday they're coming out with jeans that already look like they're pre-stained. So they have like the pre-urine stain in, it's not real urine, but it looks like it's real urine.
Yeah.
And so would you ever get a pair of these? It's normally because they say like, obviously, you know, that's considered like an embarrassing thing. But this is apparently a fashion statement that's kind of taken over the nation. And to wear these, it's Giordana Luca. Have you heard of this company?
No.
Never heard of this. It's a luxury fashion brand in the UK. Wow. And they just introduced these pre-stained jeans that look like someone peed in them. And of course, they sold out already in men. So you can't get these jeans.
Wow. Anymore.
Right.
And we'll never understand, they said, the world of fashion. And that's clear to this. But I feel like if you want to see or sell pee-stained pants, I mean, just come to my closet. You know what I mean? Like, come on. I'll hook
Matt's
you up.
Closet, Matt's closet, where all your pee-soaked garments go.
Yeah.
Matt's closet.
Where your pee-stained dreams come true.
Endless.
I mean, how are you not calling these the Billy Madison brand jeans or something like that. I mean, exactly. Or you just have the old lady just pop up like, if peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis. Like, I just feel like you're just ripping off 90s fucking movies at this point, man.
Yeah.
Because Billy Madison Forever, man, if, fucking torched those kids with that dodgeball. I'm dropping references.
How? I mean, is Miles Davis isn't even cool. That was bad.
What? Yeah, no, Miles Davis is cool. How dare he's one you?
Of the greatest. Well, I heard he's a kind of a square. He's not cool to hang out with.
Yeah. No.
He's dead now.
He's
that explains it. Yeah,
usually that's probably you're not cool.
Blues and jazz
that's why
at
he's
all?
Not returning my calls. Yeah.
You and you, Miles Davis, got real cool when you lived in New York.
Yeah, I knew his son.
Really?
Actually, yeah, he would go to one of the bars that I
listen. Just because his last name is Davis, does that mean he's the son of Miles?
His
what's his name?
What's his first name?
Tiles.
Rafi.
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 Okay. Rafi Davis.
Yeah.
He's cool.
Who's the? Yeah, it was very cool. Yeah, nice. Chill. So he's cool, but he probably gets it from his dad then. So that's all checks out now.
Do you think he'll be offended about you calling it? His dad boring?
Dude, Miles Davis was not cool at all, man. Yeah. Verbatim.
Yeah, Brett Saxon.
Put this out on Twitter, everybody. X.
We'll send it out.
So these pre-stained jeans, they will cost you how much, do you think?
Ooh. At least $10.
Yep, you're right there.
Wow.
Brett got it.
Only $10. Oh.
That's our show.
If it's in the UK and it's considered high fashion, I'm saying like $400 to $500 range.
Closer. It's $800.
What the fuck is that all about?
And and they were on sale for around $600 to $700 before completely selling out. But when they come back, they're going to be $800.
That's unbelievable.
But I'm currently wearing a pair of them right now.
For free.
Yeah. Stand up and model them, man. Yeah, come on. Make some money.
You're going to make me blush.
The trend's not going away, man. It should.
It should go away. Yeah, we should.
Shake-offs.
All right, on that note, should we do the show?
We probably should start.
Let's start the show. Yeah. And throw sand and swim down into what we doubt. But don't tell the others where we've been. All right, everybody, it is Thursday. It is May 2nd. It is 3:18 in the p.m. and it is 52 degrees. All right, there you just heard a clip from last night's show, the live show of Not Good, with comedian Tom Chilstrom as a guest. It was a great episode. So if you haven't, you probably haven't checked it out yet, unless you've only checked out the Twitch version, which is good. And it's awesome to see the visual component. Though a lot of people are like, nah, I'm good on the visual. but we, later today we will drop the actual live version of Not Good, and you should check it out because Tom Chilstrom, comedian, is on point on this episode. I can say that. Let's do some random news. Let's talk about Guinness World Records. We love to talk about those on the show. A Ghana man studying forestry in Alabama sets a world record for most trees hugged in an hour when he hugged 1,123 trees at Tuskegee National Forest. This made people around the world ask the question, why? This man became interested in nature conservation while growing up in a farming community in Ghana. He is pursuing a master's degree in forestry at Auburn University. So there you go. And he averaged about 19 trees he hugged per minute, and he surpassed the minimum requirement of 700 trees to establish the record. The record raises awareness for the importance of trees and environmental conservation. It also made awareness to his wife that she no longer wants to be with him. not true. He's a catch. From there we go to Idaho, and we've talked about this man quite a bit, David Rush. He is on the quest for breaking most Guinness World Records, and he just added 166th concurrent title to his name by throwing and catching a fire sword 73 times in 30 seconds. David Rush has broken more than 250 Guinness World Records, and he holds 166 titles. Previously set the one-minute version of this record for the most throws and catches of a fire sword at 136, but his initial attempt at the 30-second record was disqualified. He currently has no feeling in his left and right hands and arms, but worth it. Rush renewed his efforts to capture the title, and despite
singeing the hair from the back of his hand, he managed to throw and catch the flaming sword 73 times in 30 seconds, breaking the previous record of 60. So there you go. He's one step closer to overtaking Silvio Saba, who currently holds 180 titles. But he currently holds the record for most free time. Hey everybody, it is Friday, May 3rd. It is 11:15 in the a.m. and it is 61 degrees, so it's looking like it's warming up today, so that's pretty good. Kind of chilly last night at the old St. Paul Saints game, but what am I, a wuss? Yeah, I am. Thank you for asking. It is Friday, so let's do movies. I'm going to get really nerdy. I know I get nerdy every week, but this especially. So Criterion Channel has great movies. A lot of art films, so it's very easy to get super nerdy on those movies, and they have a collection out right now called the William Friedkin Collection. Friedkin is the director of The Exorcist, so of course they have that on there, and I watch that again. I end up watching it probably two or three times a year, and I do love that movie. I think it's so well made and just beautiful looking too. I'm always blown away by that. So I watched that again, and that one's awesome. So, you know, on the show, we like to give things a good or not good. Of course, I'm giving The Exorcist a good, with Max von Sydow, Ellen Burstyn, Jason Miller, Linda Blair, of course. Yeah, just truly a classic. But also in there, so there was five Friedkin movies that they have on display there. And the second one is Sorcerer, which is from 1977, and is this action thriller movie directed by Friedkin, of course, and starring Roy Scheider. And it is awesome. This is my favorite movie of the bunch and my new favorite movie right now. So I actually have a favorite movie, and it is Sorcerer. And it's so good. I guess they called it Sorcerer to kind of cash in on the one name Exorcist, you know, because Exorcist was such a huge hit. So they called this movie Sorcerer, and it has nothing to do with sorcery or anything like that. And it is more about these four people that make their way to South America, and then they have to transport a bunch of dynamite up to a top of a mountain. And the dynamite's super sensitive, so every move they make could send and kind of trigger the dynamite. So it is pretty intense, and some really, they have to drive these trucks through crazy scenarios and through like a rope bridge. That's the highlight, the big crazy scene. So yeah, Sorcerer is my new favorite. Definitely a good on that one. And then Cruising is where, what is it? It is a serial killer that is targeting gay men. And so Al Pacino has to go undercover and figure out what is going on. And he's in it, Paul Sorvino, Karen Allen's in it. That one is, I like Cruising. I think it's a really good movie, and very well shot again, beautiful to look at. That's an intense movie too. I'm giving that a good. Deal of the Century, this was the one stinker of the bunch. It is a comedy movie starring Chevy Chase and Gregory Hines and Sigourney Weaver. Yeah, you can totally skip this one. I was not a fan of that. It was just kind of like more of a chore, it felt like, to watch it. I'm sure that it's got its fans. People probably love it, but not me. That one's a not good. And then the final one in that collection was Jade, which is this 1995 erotic thriller written by Joe Esterhaus and starring David Caruso, Linda Florentino, Chaz Palminteri, Michael Biehn, Richard Crenna. So big cast. And this one, you know, there's a lot of haters on this movie, but I like it as well. I think it just works. You know what I mean? It is such a weird, strange movie, but for me, it just kind of works. And you know what else works? This podcast. Well, that's up for debate. But anyways, thank you for checking out another episode of the Weekly Review. We'll have the main show out in a couple hours, so check that one out with a special guest comedian Tom Chilstrom. He's awesome. But yeah, thanks for hanging with us. Sorry if you're bored to tears. Thank you, Nalo and Unis, for great music this week. We'll see you guys in a week. I love you.